We're live.
Greetings. It's your boy South Breeze from the 706. This is the Dirty Bird Nation Report, the unofficial official podcast of Falcons Twitter. And here we are again. As you can see, this is a Falcons podcast, but I clearly have on a Lakers shirt because I'm not going to rip the team that embarrasses me week in and week out. So shout out to the Lakers for making it to their Western Conference Finals. Shout out to LeBron being in his 10th finals. Holding it down, and knowing how to actually close out games and not blow leads like a team that we like to cover on this YouTube and podcast. What's good, y'all?
Clean house. I'm kind of speechless at this point.
Why?
Yeah, this team is shit.
Well, I mean, real quick, if you didn't know, the Falcons just dropped an 0-3 against the Chicago Bears with a final score of 30-26. When we led, I think their first lead in the game was when the fourth quarter, correct?
Correct.
In perfect Falcons fashion. So real quick, let's get Jif's instant reaction to the game because she's still emotional. I think I saw a tear trickle down her face. Like, what's going on?
I haven't cried since February of 2017. So yeah, not crying over this fucking team. I mean, I'm upset. I was happy in the first three quarters, and then after that I was just like, are we really about to do this again? And we really did it again. So I don't know what to say at this point. Like, what do we even say? We get Tony in here. Tony else go.
Let's go with Marcus. What are your thoughts as our resident Falcons Colts fan?
Okay, so I just want to address what I said last time I was on here when I said that I was guaranteeing a Falcons win against the Chicago Bears. For the record, that's because I thought Mitch Trubisky was going to play the entire game. I have never in my life seen a undefeated team replace their quarterback like after halftime. You normally don't do that when the team is 2-0. Like, if they were 0-2, I could see that. If they were maybe 1-1, maybe. But the Bears were undefeated, and they're like, you know what? Get Mitch out. Like, they were looking for a reason to get that dude out of here. So, due to unforeseen circumstances, I was wrong. But I feel like if Mitch would have played the entire game, I'd have been right. So I'm not going to take that out.
Josh, what are your thoughts?
Marcus, have you not heard of Nick Saban? You got to win at any cost, man. Undefeated or not, if the person ain't producing at the position, you got to replace them. But it's the same as Giff. Like, I was watching the game, and we're up 10. I'm like, okay, we may win by three or whatever, but we're not going to blow another fourth quarter double digit lead. And lo and behold, we did.
Joy, what are your thoughts?
I'm glad that we lost on Uncle Art's birthday.
His birthday.
That is some very in-depth analysis. He
needed that. Because first of all, we've been losing practically the same way for the last few years where we're trying to come back. Either we're trying to come back or we're trying to stay alive. And it's bad. They just need to clean house, man. That's bottom line. I'm sorry. Just clean house because I'm not even mad at this point. I'm glad that we were embarrassed today. And last week did a number for me. So this week, you know, I felt like at first we were doing good, but then I think they just kind of lost the momentum when it got third and fourth quarter. And it seemed like everything was more rushed. I don't know.
So real quick.
Can I get clarification on what it means? Clean house when you say that? What do you mean by that?
Everybody. Players, coach, everybody. Everybody. I'm sorry. Everybody.
Okay.
So practically majority of the players that we have been around these last few years with the exception of a few.
Yeah, real quick. At Broadway Joe, who's tuned in, says, how many more hours? When is Dan Quinn going to be fired? That's an excellent question that only Arthur Blank knows. And you got to think about it from this perspective, too. As fans, it's embarrassing. And at this point, we're used to it. But think about your billionaire owner and his friends that are continuously roasting them and their Republican billion-dollar franchise group chats. You know what I'm saying?
Uncle is a Democrat. Okay.
Okay. Has he ever shown his voting record? But you know, whatever. But anyway, like, it's got to be embarrassing week in and week out to like, yo, like he's probably getting flamed again by Jerry Jones and the rich people group chat. Yeah. Like, yo, Arthur, bro, like you're trash, dog. At least, even though like Jerry Jones hasn't been to the playoffs in years and won a Super Bowl in years, at least he can hang his hat on that he has had multiple Super Bowl championships. And Arthur gets there and shits the bed. And this is what the Falcons are at this point. Like, again, I'm at the point where most of us just watch the games unemotional. It's just like, eh, whatever. Like, immediately after the game, before we started recording, I was like, yeah, I'm already checking Walter Football to see what the prospects for next year are looking like. And I hate to be like that. There's a guy on Twitter where the homie, the underground Falcons dude, he posted like, yo, who should we look at next year? And somebody's in the mentions like, oh, we need to take it one game at a time. I'm like, dog, are you not watching this team?
Yeah.
Like, the future is now. We need to be looking at ways to make this team better because there are glimmers at times with the personnel and with the players. But then as the game progresses, as we get to the end of the game, we do what Falcons do, and that's lose.
Yeah, and not to harp on that, like you said, watching the game, I'm thinking like even when we were still up 10, I'm like, as a whole, we are not that good of a team. Because again, like you said, the personnel, like people drop off and like the backup comes in there and like just blow assignments. Like it's I just can't explain it. It's like it's like we don't have one, we don't have a good scheme, and then two, the scheme that we have, we have players doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing in that scheme.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, y'all. Oh.
I want everybody fired.
You know, I said that a long time ago.
Yeah,
nobody wanted to be on the train, fire train with me, except for Joy.
I want Dan Quinn fired. Yeah, that's about it. I want to apologize publicly for my wish that I made at the beginning of last year when I said the tweet that I put out that people constantly remind me of, that I said my dream scenario was for us to bring in Dirk Cutter and have Dan Quinn man the defense. The reason why I said that was because, number one, I mean, I knew there were no offensive coordinators out there. I thought that Matt would be successful again under Dirk Cutter like he was his previous time. And Dan Quinn has shown that when he did call the defense, that the defense actually performed. That has backfired. One of the problems is with this offense is that we still have Kyle Shanahan's offense. Dan Quinn is bringing in offensive coordinators to run that same offense to see if we can recreate that magic that we had in 2016. And honestly, the only person who's going to create that is Kyle Shanahan. I'm not gonna crucify Dirk as much as I want to, as much as I will for Dan Quinn, because for the past 2 weeks, Dirk has called a decent game. I'm not gonna say perfect, but somewhat decent. He still needs to learn how to run the freaking ball at the right times. Like, you do not run the – like, if Todd Gurley is having an exceptional game with 13 carries for 79 yards, why get away from running the ball with 4 minutes left? At this point, now you need to milk out the clock. Now you need to milk out the clock. They can't stop the run. And if you're – and also, not only that, not only just use Todd Gurley, but also use Brian Hill. Run out of the shotgun. When you're in second and three, continue to run the ball. Or if you're in third and short – because you have the defense on their heels, run play action, or whatever the case may be. But I want Dan Quinn fired. I want him fired today. Today. I blame the entire loss. Well, not the entire loss, I'm sorry. I blame the offensive stalls in the fourth quarter solely on Matt Ryan. He completely deserves every bit of slander today.
He was not the MVP Matt Ryan that we know. I completely put the entire offensive stall on his shoulders. He is the reason why our offense sucked in the fourth quarter. You go 2-for-9 in the fourth quarter and then you end it with an interception. Nah, it's completely his fault. The defense played well in the third quarter, a quarter that we usually struggle in, but this time we struggled in the fourth quarter even more. It's Dan Quinn has to go. Dan Quinn has to go. We're automatically 0-4 because we're not going to win next week. I think we play Denver next after we lose to Green Bay, so we may be 1-4. I think at best we're going to go into the bye week 3-6.
So, real quick to your point with the whole Todd Gurley thing, I'm not going to say it was Matt Ryan too. I'm not going to say it was all Matt Ryan's fault. I will say a lot of it was on Dirk Cotter, or whoever makes personnel moves, because me and the homie Reggie, shout out to him, the man's a beast on Call of Duty. We were going back and forth a little bit, because I tweeted out, like, yo, watching Brian Hill, like, why did we sign Todd Gurley? Because he's not showing us anything outside of that one drop pass that he can't do anything Gurley could do, right?
Right.
Until the end of the game, Brian Hill was leading rusher. He had a better average, and he had the biggest play as a running back.
That's fine. My point is, why stop running the ball?
Well, that too. But, like, I'm still confused with the Ty Gurley thing. It's like, yo, on that one pass where Hill dropped the pass out the backfield, and people were like, oh, yeah, Gurley would have caught that. I'm like, okay, then why is Gurley not in the game? At that point in the game, Gurley had only touched the ball 9 times. 9 carries and 1 reception. So I'm tired of this. And again, I've said this before. Somebody tweeted out that, hey, Gurley's not washed. I'm like, well, Gurley's not washed, but if Brian Hill continues to improve, he's not going to see a second contract because this pitch count thing is ridiculous. 3 weeks in.
Yeah, but
he's your best running back. Put him in the game in crucial situations.
Yeah,
it's that simple. Pitch count or not, get him out of here. Why bring in a guy that needs a pitch count, dog? Like, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but I mean, I gotta disagree with that because, I mean, in the 3 weeks that Gurley has played for us, he's doing exactly what Dirk Cutter said he was gonna do, and you know, I believe with most of the opportunities that we've given to him. I believe he's made the most of them.
Todd Gurley, 14-for-80. Brian Hill, 9-for-58. Todd Gurley averaged 5.7 yards. Brian Hill averaged 6.4 yards. Todd Gurley's longest run was 16 yards. Brian Hill's longest run was 35 yards.
All of that don't even matter. We still lost.
Okay,
it comes with time management, like I said from the beginning.
Right,
we throwing the ball, then Matt gets so frantic in fourth quarter, he throwing the shit all kind of ways.
Yeah,
so like you know, the thing about it is, with the whole point for me was to keep the ball on the ground, which is the same shit that occurred in Super Bowl, all of that 2017, 2018, 2019. We don't know how to manage timing,
nope. And then what kills me, bro, is
Koo didn't help us. In all three games, Koo didn't help us either.
Yeah,
he got because he was missing important points.
Dan Quinn brought in a former head coach to help him with that crap. What is he doing? I mean, you bring in somebody to help you with time management, and you still don't know how to manage time.
Period.
Like, just a waste of money.
And one more thing, I want Isaiah Oliver off my team.
Me too.
I want Isaiah Oliver off my team, bro.
Well, to think about Koo, I say he has to go because again,
I agree. And
like you said, he leads 4 points. Okay, we blow another lead. Okay, we play in overtime. If he makes the field goal and if he makes the PAT, yeah, we blew a 16-point lead. But like you said, had he made his kicks when he was called upon, at worst, we're playing in the fourth quarter. We're playing in overtime. Maybe we lose overtime, maybe we don't. But the fact is that we make it to overtime despite the blown fourth quarter lead, and then we still have a chance at overtime. But yeah, Kobe has to go because what, this is his second week missing the field goal or PAT. He missed the PAT another point. I guess in the he missed PAT against Seattle. He missed a field goal, I think, last week, and he missed another field goal today. So he missed what, two field goals and two PAT so far in what, three games. He has to go. Like, yeah. And then we can't rely on him if it's a 50-yard field goal that we need, we can't rely on him for that because more than likely he's gonna miss that. So that's why I said Kuh has to go today. If we're making any personnel move, Kuh has to be the first one. Coaching staff, all of them could go. From a player personnel standpoint, Kuh has to go today.
Oliver too.
That's wild. That's wild that you want to
do. All I got is sick.
Wait. It comes. Marcus, I get what you're saying, but also that jersey that Lethal's holding up, Matt Bryant kick missed a field goal in Arizona that cost us. He literally cost us that
a couple of times
last year because of that. So again, if you're not doing your job as a kicker, you're not doing anything but kicking, kick. You're not tackling. You're not throwing a pass. You're not blocking the one. You're literally kicking. So you can't do that. Why are you here?
I mean, how many kickers go for 100% of the year?
Huh?
How many kickers are 100% through a season? Like, if that was the case, kickers would be getting released every week. Yeah. Every time they miss a kick,
it doesn't matter, though, Marcus. He's missing kicks that he needs to be making. Extra
that
points.
Are important, especially when we
like,
come
when
on. We allow people to come back on us. Yes.
Right. Every, like, these kicks, it's not like we're up 40 points and he misses a three-pointer and, you know, we still can win. He's missing kicks that come back and bites us in the fourth quarter, bro.
Every time.
Yep.
Okay, so are we going to hold all the players to that same
thing? And Marcus, again, no kicker's going to go 100% for
exactly.
I get that. But again, I think it was last week against Dallas. When we was trying to go for we was kicking the PAT. Long story short, the ball got moved back a couple of yards and he missed the PAT from there. It's like we cannot continue to count on him to make whatever kick
it's not like he's missing kicks. The defense has to get back on the field, and they're stout, and they're getting the opposing offense off the field to give our offense back the ball to score. No, he's missing kicks that we need in the fourth quarter. We should have won the overtime against Dallas. We should have won this game because of one of his kicks. Like, come on, bro. Like, yes, he has to go. He has to go. And there is nothing good about Isaiah Oliver, bro. Any other cornerback would have caught that interception that Allen Robinson caught.
Well, like Deion kind of nudged him a little bit.
Yeah, I can't blame him for that one.
What was Deion running to? It's like what are you doing, dude? Like, just let Oliver catch in the pick, and then you just block. Like, he literally just ran into Oliver. While he's trying to leap for the pick, and then
the ball went right through his hands, yo. Any other cornerback is making that pick.
Nah, if I got hit and I'm in midair, I'm gonna be afraid that I'm about to land on my neck. So that's gonna throw off everything else that I'm trying to do.
It's not even that, bro. Oliver was lost the entire game.
Yeah, the second two.
Bloody Ray Wilson is way better than him. Like, why not start?
I wouldn't say way better either.
He played. Okay, bro. All right. Because, yes, he is. Bloody Ray Wilson is way better than him. Way better. There's nothing. Oliver is not good at the cornerback position at all. He's not. And if you notice, Mitchell Trubisky was throwing at him the entire time he was in the game. He has to go too.
Yeah.
He's trash. And he looks lost in man coverage and in zone, bro. He looks lost. Like, on one play on man coverage, how does the wide receiver run the slant and you turn the opposite way? You turn around the opposite way and then try to catch it with the wide receiver. Why, bro? Why? Come on, man. Any cornerback knows you take away the slant by jamming the inside shoulder.
He's relying too much on that jam also because of one of those passes, I think that Allen touchdown, he tried to jam because he was flat-footed. He missed the jam, and then Robinson just took off for the, ran his route and then just took off from there. But it's, I would say, it's all technique with Oliver. He's not technically sound at that position.
No, he's just strange.
So, real quick, before we get off the rails more, some of the comments in the chat, let's see, Ant26 says fire DQ, that's what we say. He says, also the only logical reason to keep DQ is secure number one draft pick. I don't think we'll be that sorry, because in Falcons fashion, when we're like, oh, and whatever, we'll turn around and rattle off some wins to get us out of position and get a player that we need to make us good. That Matt Alex, he says, we need to, we're spoiled by Matt Bryant. That is true. Fat Mac also said, fire the person who runs the Twitter page. Yo, I feel for that person. Whatever they're paying that person is not enough, because they get flamed, especially by Jif, all day, like at the Falcons.
Like, I just want us to stop tweeting, bro. Like, yeah. Stop tweeting.
Well, you got to, because you got to still.
Exactly.
The last guy who ran it was totally fine, and he talked shit back. Okay, shout out to, what was his name? Jay yeah. something.
Yeah, who's making all that rattling noise in the background? That's just hella annoying. Real quick, Carlos said, Marcus, I told you. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's relevant because we're trash. Ant said, we're not giving medals out for the best and the worst. Nard's been around for 2 weeks in 2 active roles and looks better than all of them corners. So before we continue to bash the team, let's go through. We'll start with Jif. Give me one positive that we have from the game. And I'll start before Jif goes. The one positive I will give this Falcons team on offense is that in Falcons teams of past, whenever Julio was out of a game, our offense could not function, period. Like, he was literally the catalyst for the success of our offense. And today it looks like we've kind of reached a point, maybe Ridley has really emerged as a true number one, which I was a bit skeptical on, that our offense looked like, if it has some competence, it could function absent Julio Jones. And I tweeted at a Falcons fan, shout out to Aaron Freeman, that I was like, the Falcons are starting to listen to you when you talk about play action with it being so effective, but why does it get to the point where we wait till we're missing our number one receiver to start doing things we should have been doing? Like, imagine how the play action would work with Julio and Calvin Ridley, not just Calvin Ridley. So, like, why are we doing things like this? So Jif, what was a positive that you got from this game, offense, defense, or special team? And then we'll go to Josh, Tony, Marcus, and Joy.
Denard. That's probably my biggest positive. And I'm also curious as to why he hasn't been starting over Oliver.
Yeah.
This whole time, Denard was a fucking beast. Like, if anyone deserved the game ball, it was him.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
Any other positives that I had? I mean, we did pretty good the first half. It's just the second half, everything went to shit. So, offensively, the first half was good. And then defense overall, like in the first half, I mean, I liked what I saw for the most part. Nothing too bad in the first half. Just everything just crashed and burned. Who's next, Josh?
Yeah. The only positive that I could take away from this game is that the injured players are getting healthy. Like I said, it was just a bad game. It's really no positives you could really take away from this game. Because, like I said, had we won, I would still have been skeptical because, again, looking at the game, we do a lot of idiotic stuff for some reason. And if you play a better team with better coaching, they're going to pick that apart easily. So I may be the ally, but let me take it back. Only positive thing is Gurley, he looked decent. But yeah, that's it.
The positive thing I'll take away is the offensive line. I think the offensive line played fairly well today. I think they gave up, 2 sacks, if I'm not mistaken. I think they did. I think they improved in the run game. That was the only positive, but that's a very, 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 very small positive. But that's about it. That's about it.
I would say Grady Jarrett looked good.
He got hurt.
He looks like at the beginning of the game. I'm trying, all right? Like, there wasn't a lot of positive. I was going to say Calvin Ridley, but Breeze took that one already. But I thought from while Grady Jarrett was in the game.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
But Grady effect had the same as Tag. When they both left the game, the pressure just went away with them.
True. Joy, you got any positives?
One positive was I was glad to see Matt Ryan throw the ball more than 5 or 10 yards. I was glad that he was able to get downfield in some aspects. I was glad to see Calvin Ridley look decent. Well, he actually was looking like Julio for a second out there, especially I believe that was the first touchdown we got. And that's about it for me.
Yeah. I gotta also say I didn't really miss Julio all too much in the first half. Hey, don't shoot me. But in the first half, I didn't really miss it too much because people were catching the ball between the Zacchaeus guy, Ridley, Gage, and whoever that other one is. Who's that other one? Wasn't it number 15?
Powell.
Yeah, like, you know, it was just like, okay, we can actually make catches with all these other players, so. But the second half, it was like, okay, except for Ryan's overthrows. But Ant 26, his two positives are we're a week closer to the 2021 season. And Denard.
I mean, is that a positive, though? Because, like, with the truncated college season, it's going to be hard to get a read on prospective players. Like, that's the only kind of crazy thing. It's like, cool, we might get a couple of games, but that could be fool's gold. We can end up in a situation where we overdraft a player or misdraft a player like we tend to do. I mean, it's already a 50-50 proposition with the draft anyways. Now it's like, well, shit, this guy looked good for the 7-game season we had. Let's draft him, and then he has to be a dud.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you guys are in a good position because you have one of the better GMs in the league, so you gotta trust that he knows what he's doing, and whatever player he drafts is gonna be productive.
Yeah, always. You know, everyone can't draft Hall of Famers as a GM.
Oh my God, y'all! I 3 consecutive weeks. Like, I don't even know what it feels like to win a game.
Tony, don't look for anything positive until now. Until we just get the whole new coaching staff. Like, this defense is just bad. They're just all around bad.
But they played well, though. The defense played well for the most part.
We played Trubisky. We could have went out there and did what they did.
Bro, no, we couldn't have. Because when
Trubisky is not a good quarterback.
When Nick Foles got it, Nick Foles didn't play any better than Mitchell Trubisky did, in my opinion. He
put up 21 points in 4 minutes. Yes, he did.
Because the offense put the defense back on the field.
Because the defense decided to run freaking 3-man stats on fourth down. He picked apart the defense too. Like, the defense is just bad. All around bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're bad, but I think they play well.
Deion just running around. We're not getting pressure if their name is not Fowler, Tack, or Grady.
Dante Fowler ain't getting no pressure today either, but go ahead.
I mean, he had one. That's one. What anyone else had?
Man, listen, that's fine and all. You're right. The defense is bad, but Matt Ryan didn't help at all. Those are routine throws that Matt Ryan usually makes, whether it's Julio.
To Julio.
No. He makes that to Calvin. He makes that to Calvin, and he made one to Olamide Zaccheaus last year. So I don't want to hear that, man. Those are routine throws.
He got hit on. You talking about that one that he got hit?
What?
The one to Zaccheaus over the middle where he couldn't step in because he's getting hit in the face by Hicks. That one. You talking about that one?
Yeah, which probably could have been a roughing the passer, in my opinion.
However, no, it was a clean hit. He just can't step into it.
Man, listen. Though he missed four. He overthrew the receivers 4 times, man. 4 times on wide open plays, G.
He did do that.
Wide open. Four. And then not only that, Hayden Hurst's only reception was the touchdown.
That goes to your OC. Again.
That's an OC, that's an OC thing.
Yeah, Dirk just completely had a brain fart for the second half. When you're up that much against a team with a decent defense, you don't want to keep throwing the ball because you don't know what's gonna happen. Just run the ball and make that clock and pray you get out there with the win. But he didn't do that. He wanted to stay aggressive for whatever dumb reason that he had. And you can't do that. You cannot stay aggressive the entire time. You have to have situational awareness to where, okay, we up 14 with 5 minutes left. Well, 16 with 5 minutes left. They got Nick Foles. They need 2 points, two conversions, and two touchdowns. Let me run this ball.
Hang on.
This ball to eat some of this clock to put the pressure on them. Because Nick Foles, I would count more often than not for him to do something like that, what he did today. But we aided them in that comeback. Nick Foles is not that good. But
no, he's not.
But because of the dumb play calls on offense and defense, we helped them. You run the ball in that situation. Don't stay attacking the ball. Stop throwing the ball downfield when your only true threat is Calvin. And they know that. Stop doing that.
Yep. Let me address Adolphus real quick. Shout out to the KTSE podcast. Two of them are on here. Of course, that would be South Breeze and Mr. Sniffles. Adolphus, I don't owe you a blender. I did not tell you to put nuts in your blender and break it. Okay, so that's on you. Stop putting it in the comments. Also, y'all need to check out our sponsor below. As you can see, it's on the ticker and it's in the description box. We can use some money so we can start paying people to do more shit for us and for y'all. So check out Thrive Fantasy, especially if you're into sports betting and fantasy football. Okay, back to this fucking show. Who's this guy? I don't know who that is on Twitter, but shout out to you for your insight. Put your Twitter name in the comments, because if you're watching on Twitter, I don't know y'all's YouTube names, so it's different.
Does Dan Quinn get fired today or tomorrow?
It better be today.
Probably not to the
man.
It need to be today.
Okay, so if Dan Quinn gets fired, which we pray he does, who do y'all want to be interim head coach?
Matt Ryan.
My dog.
Matt Ryan.
No, seriously.
Ray Charles.
Obert. Jeff.
I agree.
Because I don't at this point, I don't trust Raheem in anything that he does.
I'm sorry. Me either. I agree with that.
I have to disagree with y'all, man. I think the defense played well.
They gave up a 4th-and-19, dude, to Nick Foles.
I know.
However, I put
that. What
good
is that?
Gosh, listen,
it's not,
bro.
It's not we saying they gave up 4th-and-19 to Peyton, man.
Bro, look at the talk there.
Prime Aaron Rodgers.
Jeff, you just might.
Joshua, listen. I think the defense played. In the first quarter, I think the defense was really trying to get a feel for the offense. But I think for the latter half of the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter, for the most part, I think they played well. I just put their woes in the fourth quarter solely on the offense. We should have had 40 plus points today. Matt Ryan overthrew 4 receivers today. 4, and it's nothing but 3 outs. You go 0-7 in the fourth quarter, bro. 0-7. I put that solely on the offense, man.
I can agree somewhat, but okay. When was the last time you ever heard of Nick Foles throwing for 3 touchdowns in a 5-minute span?
I understand that the defense was gassed at that point.
No, they wasn't gassed. They were just playing bad defense, Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
Even the first touchdown, that number 17 drop, early, that was a 4th down too.
Yeah,
Neil played it dumb. He tried to undercut the route when he was already back there. It's just they're doing dumb stuff at the ill at the most ill-timed time.
Like right. In the game. That's, stop. I get that. I get that. But when you go three and out, when you go three and out on four straight drives because your quarterback is making dumb decisions, that puts a defense that puts the defense in a between a rock a hard place and a rock and a hard place, man.
Tony, I get that, but you at the very most you probably give okay one touchdown, okay boom, because offensive
that would have that probably would have sealed the game.
Okay, I give you that, but when you give up three touchdowns to Nick Foles in a 5 minute span, that's a problem.
It's a problem.
Yeah, but that started with offense, though. That come from time management. That
exactly.
When, like, come on. Why aren't you? Why?
I agree with that.
Josh, no. Listen, Josh, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying as far as the defense giving up three touchdowns. You're right, they did. They did make some dumb decisions. They did do idiotic bonehead things. However, I think at that point, bro, they were just gassed and they were desperate to make a play. And when you get overly desperate, sometimes that tends to happen. Yes, you give up three touchdowns in a matter of 5 minutes, but it's a problem when you go three and out in a matter of 2 minutes. And he did that for three consecutive drives.
Right, and that goes back to Dirk and the play call. At that point in time, when there's right. 6 minutes left on the clock, and we
right,
against 14, you run the ball. You exactly. run the ball with Hill and Gurley.
Exactly. And not only that, and another thing that I've noticed, we haven't used Ito Smith in the running game either. I have a problem with that. You have three serviceable running backs. Use them to pound the ball. Why aren't you using Ito? Keep the defense on their heels. You're only using two running backs. So now at this point, the defense know what you're going to do.
Well, what I will say to the – God damn, some of these submissions is terrible. What I would say to the point about the defense playing bad, we also have to remember we are missing a lot of players on defense as well. But I would agree with Joy and I think Josh that it is a scheming thing. Like – the way that Dirk uses plays or runs the ball or not runs the ball, or uses play action or personnel just doesn't make any sense. And it puts Matt Ryan, not saying that he's not at fault for errant throws, but again, quarterbacks make bad throws as part of the game. But in my opinion, he should be put in better positions not to have to do that. Yeah. Like, again, pound the rock. Like, why are you coming out running the ball on first down? You know what I'm saying? Especially, like, not a big chunk play. Run the ball, eat the clock, set up that play action that you clearly see was working earlier in the game.
God.
So that's just one of those things. Where it's a lot of it, I have to say, is on Dirk. Because honestly, with the competent OC, this is easily a 30-plus point team per game. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to have that much talent and just be so inept. So
And to this dude is, Ant26, if Matt Ryan has a play to per. If Matt Ryan has to play perfect for the team to have a chance, you got to look at the defense, bro. Sorry, bro. The offense stalling in the fourth quarter was simply on Matt Ryan.
On Matt Ryan. It's on the offense coordinator.
Let's look at like what they did in the second half. Like their first drive after the second half, they had a touchdown. Second drive, four plays, field goal. Next drive, five plays, punt. Next drive, seven plays, missed field goal. The next three drives were three and outs, and then the last drive was an interception.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can blame the defense all you want, but the offense did not help either. You can't go three and out three straight times while the other team is scoring touchdowns.
Then you go three and out on three consecutive plays where Matt Ryan overthrows the receiver on a clear touchdown.
Go ahead.
I like to ask a question because I know I posed this on Twitter probably about 3 years ago and got my head chewed off. And I'm really practically back at the same spot. So my thing is, I understand that Matt Ryan has to listen to his OCs, which was a lot of people's point of view when it came to Super Bowl as far as how we lost with that. All the way down to 3-4 years later, we're still doing the same thing. Why is it that Matt Ryan cannot playmate? Or tell his OC we got to do some time management.
Or, I agree.
Like, and I've been saying and asking the same questions in Super Bowl, and everybody want to tell me, oh, he trusts his OC, this, that, and the third. But year after year after year after year, it's the same thing. So
I agree.
At what point do he say, bro, look, let me do this, or right on the line of scrimmage, call something else, and this is how we gonna do this? Like, what?
I agree.
When do we get that?
I agree. And what we have seen in the past is when Matt Ryan takes the helmet at the line of scrimmage, we usually produce. And we usually move the ball. So I agree. And honestly, I hate to say it, but that separates the good quarterbacks from the great quarterbacks. We know if a coach calls a dumb play, we know the Drew Breeses and the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady is gonna be like, look, bro, that ain't gonna work. Or they may change the play at the line of scrimmage. But I totally agree with Joy on that. I totally agree. At some point, I told some people this before. Football teams should have a common sense coach. There are some instances in the football game where common sense should come. The common sense is in the situation that you're in, you already blew the lead already. You're already up by just three. So now with 5 minutes left and you have the ball, you need to run the ball. You need to run the ball and milk out the clock and set up the play action. That's common sense. Common sense is when you're on third and three, you don't pass from shotgun. Or if you're gonna be in shotgun, you're gonna call a draw play, or whatever. Or on third and three, you don't get under center with only one receiver or three tight ends and run the ball, because you see they're gonna stack the box. Or if you're gonna do that call play action and catch them off guard, that's common sense. That is common sense, and we don't have any of that.
Well, just to kind of address what Joy was saying about, like, giving the players more, or giving Matt Ryan specifically more leeway to make, you know, audibles or make plays on his own. Like, I feel like for the last 4 to 5 years, Falcons fans have been complaining about the offensive coordinator and the type of plays that they've been calling, and the play is not working. But at some point, like, and I said this during the Super Bowl loss, like, if those players execute the plays that are called, then there's no issue. Like, the play calls aren't that bad. That, like, Matt Ryan missed some throws. People are not executing the play calls. So I don't. At some point, we have to start looking at the players too. It can't be the last five offensive coordinators Matt Ryan has had are the
right
offensive players. At some point, you gotta start looking like, hey Matt, are you going to make a throw? Like, you missed three throws.
Okay, let me interject right there. So again, that's ridiculous. Again, like you just said with the kicker, you have to hold everybody to the same standard. Quarterbacks miss throws, but your OC has to put your quarterback in the best positions to be successful.
Wide receiver,
again, if you look at, hold on, let me finish. If you look at all the other top quarterbacks, Matt Ryan is the only one to have some semblance of success with five different offense coordinators. I'm not saying that he should get a prize for that, but that does matter. Having that type of continuity, instead of every other season, you have to learn a new system, learn new terminology, learn new players. Instead of having that year in, year out consistency, where now you don't have to think about these plays. We're not making these error throws because, hey, I've ran the same system for 10 years with the same guys, with the same verbiage. So stuff like that does matter. It's a testament to Matt Ryan's professionalism and his talent that he's able to overcome the foolishness with his team. Because again, it's looking like possibly next year we're gonna be in the same boat with another offense coordinator.
It keeps going. Can I pick up that?
Go, Josh.
And also, every year up until what Shanahan got here, Matt Ryan was, like I said, he was audibly the plays at the line at his discretion. Every year up until Shanahan got here, from Shanahan up until now, Matt doesn't have that leisure anymore for whatever wet reason. Well, the only company that dominated is Dan, since because of Dan Quinn, he's still here. So maybe it's still something within that. Maybe Dan wants to run plays a certain way, or he doesn't want to, as we say, free Matt and let Matt do his thing. Because it's a reason why Matt had 30-something comeback wins and within what, 8 years, because he knows, okay, we need to run the ball right here on the second and two to this clock. Oh, let me make this key throw. When Mike Smith let Matt run the offense, now I'm trying to say we won the game. So everything changed once Quinn got here. So maybe Quinn wants to run the offense one way, and that's not what Matt is used to.
But when it's all said done, I don't care if he's had 20 OCs. At the end of the day, playmaking is in all of the schemes or whatever y'all said as far as their playbook is concerned. It's still, there is an audible in all of that. So with that being said, you can't make an excuse that he's had 5 OCs because still, you still can playmake in all, in every playbook.
I just think it's funny how, like, when Matt Ryan misses a throw, all of a sudden that's a bad play call. Like, make the throw.
No, I don't think it was a bad
play call.
Who said it was a bad play call?
Nobody said, no, sir.
No, what we're saying is, don't say that, though.
No. What we're saying is, Marcus, what we're saying is that goes back to the common sense play. So, like, in 5 minutes, why are you passing the ball out of the shotgun instead of run the ball?
Pass. No one is complaining if Matt Ryan completes the pass.
Actually, hold up.
It's still a bad play call, though.
So what I would say is, what I would say is, you can go check my tweets from 2016. Even when we were balling out of control with Kyle Shanahan, I would continuously tweet out, run the ball. Stop passing the ball on first down. I didn't care if it was a 40-yard gain. Run the ball. And you see what happened when we got to the Super Bowl. And again, I know Jalen and Aaron would argue that those plays are actually better plays, but sometimes you can't look at the analytics. Look at the common sense. First down, you're in the red zone. You're about to finish off a game. Pound the rock. Eat the clock out.
Marcus, not the 90s anymore. You're able to use the passing attack as running plays. You can do little swing passes, short passes.
But you see that it's costing us games,
The good teams do that all the time.
We're not a good team.
Maybe that's it, Ben.
Say if he completes the pass and the dude runs out of bounds. The clock is still stopped. So, but if you're running the ball, you're still eating the clock. Eat the clock. No matter
if he completes the pass, the guy was in the middle of the field. Why would he be out of bounds?
I said if, hypothetically, if. If
okay,
my thing is you eat the clock the entire half. I don't care who you have, you eat the clock because you're just trying to win. You say
your quarterback's a Hall of Famer. Let your Hall of Fame quarterback win you a game. Make the throw. Make the play.
We win the game. If he could control the game, we win the game because we're running the ball. We're not throwing the ball.
We're not having these conversations if Matt Ryan completes wide open passes. Period.
That doesn't mean it's not a bad play call. There are times when we went for two, and I'm like, okay, why are we going for two and we're up? Yeah, we got it. I'm gonna let it slide, but that was still a dumb play call. I've tweeted so many times, okay, we got it, but I still don't agree with the play call. So even though the pass is completed or the first down is made, it's still a bit of a gamble. And we have seen
if you want to call out the dumb play call, make sure you're also calling out that the players aren't executing. Make sure you call that
out. That's fine. But as a coach, you're supposed to put your players in a position to be successful.
He did. Matt Ryan missed the throw. The coach did everything right. Matt Ryan missed the throws.
All right.
You're saying the offensive coordinator's not putting Matt Ryan in a good position to make a.
Ha! Muted.
Okay. So what I would say is, we're kind of riding Matt's back a little hard for this one particular game. We can't act like he hasn't been playing at a high level for a majority of the season.
Smoke that, bro. Forget that. Forget that. We were in a must-win game, dog. I'm sorry. Matt Ryan.
We were in a must-win game in week two, but I mean that's not Matt Ryan's fault that the defense is trash.
Right. It's Matt Ryan's fault that he went 0-7. He played trash today.
Let's address the defense real quick. So I need every single player on defense to hit the weight room. And I need them to learn how to fucking tackle. We had way too many missed tackles today. Dude. Way too many.
Oh my God.
Had the players. Y'all had him, and then y'all just let him go. It was
that goes back to the scheme. They want small, fast players, and when you have small, fast players, and the other team have stout players who pack on weight,
who will run your ass over,
right?
You can have fucking tackle. Like, what the fuck? It was just way too many. I need them to hit the fucking weight room.
Because
and practice tackling again, the fundamentals down to the beginning stages of how to tackle.
Because Wilson came over there with that weak tackle, and Allen Robinson threw him down to the ground, just ran in for the touchdown. Because he's small, he's a small corner. Like,
well, part of it, I think, is also, and again, I know this affects both teams, but I think, again, having preseason games helps make these adjustments. Like, hey, bro. You made it to the ball, you made the play, you made your assignment, but wrap up. Please hit somebody. This is your job. Go ahead, Joy.
I'm going to have to disagree, and this is why I say this. We had preseason last year, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, and we still trash.
I'm not saying it would more reps out. That's all I'm saying. Like, it reps do matter, but I get
I really don't think preseason would have made a difference, at, period, because we still have the same – people that we had last year
and the same issues for
that is not right, and it's not, we're either fighting to come back at the end third or fourth quarter, or we're beating the brakes off somebody and trying to struggle to win in the third and fourth quarter. It's the same shit that's been going on these last 4 years.
Why are you in the NFL and you can't make a tackle?
Why? Thank you.
I mean, there's other
Wow. Kids know to wrap up. Kids, three, 4, 5, 6 year olds know to wrap up. That's
wrap the first up, thing my dude. You learn. Come on, man. Come on, Allen Robinson does not score that touchdown if Isaiah Oliver makes the tackle instead of trying to pull the ball away.
Yep.
The tackle.
Well, let's start with that. He probably doesn't score if we have a better quarterback than Isaiah Oliver on the team, period. So that's where you can start with. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong. There's a lot of things wrong with the team. But what I will say with that is that a lot of these Falcons fans, shout out to Aaron Freeman, he preached this on his podcast, Locked On Falcons, check them out, is that this Falcons team is not like one player or one draft away from being contender.
No.
Like, this is where situations like this is where it shows how truly not prepared we are as a team, because when people go down, other teams that are actually at depth, somebody else steps in.
With
us, with the exception of today of Julio, our offense seems to have a little bit of depth. But like you said, if Grady Jarrett goes out, if Tech goes out, then it's like, well, there's the rest of our team. Our team is not one player away. Our team is not one draft away. Our team
is loyalty, though. That falls back on your big weed. Yo, Arthur Blanks and all that. Well, him really, because he, I don't know. He believes in being loyal to the people that he have, rather than it being a business.
It's not like the players that he's been loyal to is trash. He's being loyal to the right players.
I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is, when it comes to how much money we give people, for instance, like Devontae Freeman. Now, we give you all this goddamn money, contract, though. We ain't got money to try to get what we need. So I'm just speaking in loyalty on all the way around when it comes to our salary cap, when it comes to even the coaching staff. Oh, we keeping them around because we like Dan Quinn as a person, but we don't like him as a coach. Us as the fans don't like him as a coach because of what we see. But Arthur Blank, on the other hand, likes him as a person. So I'm going to keep you around because I like your personality and how you are, rather than your winning games. Because if it was such of a business, he would have got rid of him a long time ago.
Wait, hold up. South Breeze, before you go, I have one more question and I got to get off here because I have somewhere to be.
Me too.
I guess it's safe to say we're probably not going to make the playoffs. Not only do we have a personnel change, but do we have a player change? Like, do we trade away Julio at the end of the year? Do we give away? Do we look to shop a Grady Jarrett or Deion Jones at the end of the year? If this team does not make the playoffs, which seems likely, like, do we completely clean house at the end of this year? What do y'all think?
Yes.
Jiff, you go first.
I don't know. I think, look, Julio was on the sidelines looking like he was about to retire. You know, like, he was like, fuck.
Joy, you go next, since you got to go.
Yeah, I think that we were supposed to clean house some years ago. But, yeah, I think that they would clean house at the end. Now, what I'm looking at is if we are sorry or if we're tanking at this early in the stage, that we possibly may recruit a quarterback. Get rid of Shaw. Somebody's going to have to probably step in soon when it comes to Matt Ryan. Or it could be possible, and I know a lot of people are against it, that Julio and Matt Ryan could be traded to help us out. But then I don't know if that will really help us out. So, honestly, I would just say clean house for the people who definitely aren't doing our team any justice. All these one-year deals, if they not holding their end up, get rid of them. Then, too, yeah. I think gotten rid of some people who could help us out in the clutch when some of our people go down to injuries or things of that nature. I think we've given away a couple of people that we could have kept. So all of that falls back on whom? The general manager and those folks like Rich McKay and all them? Doesn't that fall back on them?
Well, Dan Quinn, because he has complete control of who makes the roster. One more thing before I go. I wanted to piggyback off the Matt Schaub point that Joy just made, which is a good point, Joy. I wanted Josh Rosen to sit behind Matt Ryan.
I said that weeks ago.
I really wanted Josh Rosen.
And what happened? You probably got cussed out, then.
I was told a few times that he's not a good quarterback, but I'm just like, yo, my man was really never given a fair shot. And for him to sit behind Matt Ryan for the next 2 to 3 years, it would do him some justice. But honestly, I don't really want him sitting behind Matt Ryan with his coaching staff.
But all right, we'll catch y'all later.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Okay, I'm staying for about 5 minutes. I need to hear what Scott need to say.
All right, Michael, what do you think?
It really depends on the contracts. And if you have to bring in a new general manager if you want to do these things. So you have to set a precedent. Like, all right, someone like Grady Jarrett, who's still on his rookie deal, he stays. Yep. You keep him. But you look at someone like Matt Ryan or Julio Jones, and you kind of take the Patriots way of doing business. It's better to get rid of them too early than to get rid of them too late. So Matt Ryan, not saying Matt Ryan's trash. He's still serviceable. I still think he's the best quarterback in that division. But at the end of the season, if you're in a position to draft a first-round quarterback, he wasn't the guy for you. If you're in a position to get like a high-end, like a top-two quarterback in the draft, you have to look at your current quarterback and say, well, he has to go because he's going to be 36 next year. He'll be making upwards of $20 million. And if you can get a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, imagine what you can get for Matt Ryan. If you can get a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, imagine what you can get for Julio Jones. So now, if you're in a position to draft that top two, like I say, I don't know if these guys are good. I don't know if he's good or not. He's a quarterback that I know. But say you're in a position to draft Justin Fields, right? You draft Justin Fields, you trade Matt Ryan, you get a first and a second, you clear $20 million of cap space. You trade Julio, you get another second and a third, and you clear that cap space. Now you have 4 extra draft picks, 2 of those being first-round picks. You have extra cap space to build that depth. You have extra picks to build that depth. You have a young quarterback who can play alongside with Calvin Ridley and become a better professional. It's essentially what the Colts did. If you have a high draft pick, you trade down, get more picks. You have another mid-round high draft pick, just keep trading down, keep getting more picks. The more chances you get to get good players, you got to take them. And I'm still going to stand by my pick of the Falcons winning the NFC South, so we're not going to have to go through this. But if they are in the position to get a Justin Fields, you got to trade these older players with big contracts and start getting draft picks to build this team.
Okay, well, I don't think we are in that position, so all that really is irrelevant. But I would say that I don't think we need to go to that extreme yet. I think I said maybe to the end of their contracts, because again, as much as Tony was mad at Matt Ryan, we still have good pieces, right? We just need better coaching. We have talent. We need more draft picks. We need better players. We need a better OC. Now, with Julio, you're like, hey, it's better to get rid of him too early and too late. I understand that. But if you look at a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, right? Julio can play a role like that for as long as he wants to. It's whenever he feels like it, he can quit. But he has the ability. He doesn't have to be the super vertical throughout the time if you keep adding weapons around him like the Chiefs do, putting burners around your quarterback. So as he starts to decline, he can have more players to help extend his career by, hey, you throw them a 10-yard pass, they can take 20 yards. Put weapons around Matt Ryan, get better coaching, get a better scheme, and I think we're in a pretty good position to compete. I'm not saying we're going to be contenders, but blowing it up, getting rid of Matt Ryan and Julio at this point, when I don't think we can anyways, it doesn't really make any sense. Again, if you look at the way we're losing games, it is a coaching issue. It's a coaching and talent issue. It's not like Matt Ryan's out here throwing three picks a game. He threw a pick at the end of this game. Like, at this point, it was never. Like, the game's over. You know what I'm saying? But it's not – you're not pointing at the real issues. I understand what you're saying. This isn't like Madden. Like, that's just not how it works. I would rather ride Matt and Julio out till they're done and have a covered field so you can bring in another quarterback like that, like a younger quarterback, a new quarterback, and go with a full cover instead of having to do a full rebuild. Most teams do not operate like the Patriots, unfortunately. I wish we would, but that's just not the case. But I don't think it's the time to move on from Matt Ryan or Julio quite yet.
Yeah. Let me just address this real quick. Some of y'all ask why we don't talk about the post-game shit. And it's because they said they just be saying stupid shit. Like, ever since Dan Quinn took the reins, they say stupid ass shit, and it pisses me off. That's why I don't want to talk about it, and I haven't brought it up. Like, listen to this shit. Matt and fucking Todd are like, Dan Quinn, we're trying to keep Dan Quinn's job, basically. You know what I'm saying? The team has Dan Quinn's back. Stupid shit. Like, why do I want to talk about that shit? And then Matt said, the entire story hasn't been told yet. Why the fuck do y'all want me to talk about this? They're not saying anything. They're just saying bullshit in these fucking press conferences, and it's stupid and it pisses me off. Like, they're not addressing anything that they need to fucking address, and then they're going to come back and they're going to play like shit again, have our hopes up in the first half just to crash it down in the second half again. Tired of this shit.
But Lethal, I mean, what you want them to say, like, I hate Quinn. Like, they're not going to say yes here to the media.
Shit, at this point, hey, something. It's been how many years has Quinn been here? How many? It's been too long. Quinn, I'm really pissed. Shut your egghead ass up, stupid stuff. You get on my fucking nerves.
I mean, like to say, when you have coach, like, you're going to – that's what you're going to get after all these games. You're not going to get a sound back from anyone unless you're personally in that locker room.
I can't say it because someone will get in trouble. I'm gonna tell y'all, don't leave when we end. When this goes off live, don't leave. And I'm gonna tell you.
So real quick, if y'all are mad now, fans out there, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, drop the review or whatever. It ain't getting no better, because guess who's rolling in next week? Aaron Rodgers. So if you think this was bad, Jesus Rice. It's about to get digital. Like, this, if Dan Quinn doesn't get fired after this game, which I don't think he will, I'd be very surprised if he did. Next week is going to be hard, because Aaron's going to come in looking at his chops. Like, I want to make an analogy that's inappropriate, but so give me, what's a movie with like a famous prostitute, like a, you know, somebody that gets passed around?
Famous prostitute. Ain't that a Pretty Woman?
Okay, your girl on Shameless, Fiona. Like, she clearly was just giving up the cheeks to anyone, right? So like the Falcons defense was Fiona, and Mr. Biscay was like some lame dude. And, you know, like, the coach was like, bro, you couldn't take that down? Hey, man, get him out of here. Nick Foles comes in, and the drawers drop right down. And you think Nick Foles would get the drawers that quick? Aaron Rodgers, It's gonna be like twirling her up in the air, bro. He's gonna be twirling his defense up like it's Magic City or something like that. Have him do flips, do a splits.
Especially you know with the zone,
bro. Oh my god, dog. This might be that 20.
Do you like playing fantasy sports? If so, Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. If you're playing with NFL, of course, because this is an NFL podcast, you choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. That you could also do other sports, of course. They have NBA, MLB, PGA, and even esports. How that works will be in the description box below. Use our promo code DBNReport, the name of this podcast. We'll put it in the description box below. When you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Again, that's www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today.
Was it 12 playoff game again? We lost like 42-21. It's gonna be a bloodbath. It's going to be. I might not even watch this game. That's how bad it's gonna be.
Jeez,
like it's MVP caliber candidate Aaron Rodgers this minute. He's like he might not even practice this week. That's how bad our defense is. He might not even practice. We could still drop 4 touchdowns out of
it. Right.
Like,
well, it's, let me ask just a yes or no question. If you guys are in a position, say the season just goes the way it's been going, it just doesn't turn around. If you guys are in position to get the second best quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence in the draft, do you want that quarterback?
No.
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 Okay.
And the reason is because that's not a yes or no question. Like I see what you're trying to do, but that's not a yes or no question. There's other things going on.
As to why?
Go.
Because I've seen whoever I think you're hitting as a particular player, and I've seen him personally play for my school, and he's not what y'all think he is. Okay, you can say take it however, but he's not what y'all think he may be coming to the
industry. I'm not hitting at a – like, I don't watch college football like that, so I don't know. I know Trevor Lawrence
is the second-best quarterback at the
– talking about Justin.
This is a terrible QB class, and it's only really two top quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm just naming Justin Fields because that's the name I've heard. So, like, I just feel like – well, I mean, I already explained my take on that, but
it's not
at some point, it's like if you're in that – if you have – a quarterback that is making big money and is
past the age of part two.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm just ignore the Justin Fields thing because I don't know if he's good. I'm not specifically talking about him. I'm just saying if you're in a position as an NFL team, you have a quarterback that is over the age of 30, who is not in his prime anymore, and is making close to $20 million, and you have a top 10 draft pick. And you're able to get a young quarterback. Wouldn't it make sense to do that though? You know, no, like
it doesn't, because again, the quarterback is not the problem. All you're gonna do is have a quarterback sitting on the bench as we're still losing because we need a better pass rush, need better DBs. Get the players you need to build your team, get a competent coaching staff. This is a competency issue. This is not a quarterback
problem. Exactly.
If we could draft a coach in the first round, I'm absolutely. Not saying the quarterback. If we trade a first round pick for somebody that could help us win, I'd do that.
I'm not saying the quarterback is the problem, but I'm just saying that you're talking about all the things that the Falcons need. How long do you think it's going to take to get those issues resolved? Like you said, in 2 seasons, Matt Ryan's going to be 39.
And that's the thing. If you build a complete team where you can run the ball and not have to rely on throwing the ball 30 or 40 times, that can work.
Yeah.
That's look at the Seahawks. The Seahawks can actually run the ball. They can play defense. They can rush the passer.
How are you supposed to fill that cupboard when you have an aging quarterback that's making close to $20 million and his last
NFL draft, coaching, a different program, do something you could do. You have what you have. We have talent. We just need to curate that talent to actually play to its potential, which they are not. whether it be scheme, whether it be coaching, there's something going on in this organization.
Yeah,
now, look at it like this. The Browns have their first winning season in like the last 6 years, and we're 0-3. If you look at that team, it's a quarterback lead. There's no reason we should be 0-3. It's not on the quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Like, missed some throws, missed some touchdowns. Hey,
Put Matt Ryan on the Browns and put
he would suck there too. Titans.
Listen to what Justin Hardy tweeted out. Later.
The Browns aren't good either.
I said the Browns.
The Browns aren't good either.
The Browns with Odell Beckham. The Browns with Nick Chubb.
Odell Beckham. Okay, I said this last time.
The Browns are so
bad that they made Odell Beckham trash. Like, Odell was fine in New York.
Who was their quarterback?
The stink of the Cleveland Browns uniform will not allow you to be great. You think? No, and it's not that the Browns have a winning season. This is their first time having a winning record. It's week three. It's their two.
And that's what I'm saying. And this is the first time. This is the first time since Julio Jones was in high school that the Falcons have started 0-3. So you mean to tell me?
And Julio Jones is also old, and he's also injured. Y'all aren't really listening to what I'm saying. You guys are doing this emotionally because you guys like Julio so much. The thing is, to build a better team, to build a team for the future, for the long run, Matt and Julio are probably not going to be in that equation because they're older, because they're not in the prime, because they're not going to get better, because Julio Jones is going to continue to get hurt. So if you can get some value for Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, you guys will be in a better position for the long haul.
It doesn't matter with this coaching staff.
Also, with the coaching staff, Marcus, we've seen what John Elway, Peyton Manning, we've seen them at the tail end of their career when they could barely do anything, win the Super Bowl because they had great teams. They mainly had or paired with great defenses. What you can do, get a competent coaching staff with a competent scheme. Get competent players on your defense, and you're fine. We're literally just a decent coach away from competing again.
Peyton Manning did not win that Super Bowl in Denver because they had a competent defense, because they had a good defense. They had an all-time great defense. It wasn't just a solid defense. If your quarterback is old like that, you have to have one of the greatest defenses of all time for your old quarterback to lead you to a Super Bowl.
I get that, but you're saying Matt Ryan old and Peyton Manning, I can't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field. It's not the same thing. And he was coming off an injury.
And I'm just saying, if you want to fill some of these holes on your team, trading Matt Ryan is not a bad option. I'm not saying Matt Ryan is the problem. I just said Matt Ryan is the best quarterback in that division. But if you want to fix a lot of these problems, trading your older, injury-prone, expensive players could help.
It could, but that's not going to happen. Like, this, Matt Ryan and Julio are the two players that they're not going to trade, like, ever. You know what I'm saying? Matt Ryan is in, like, Arthur Blank's backyard. He's in his back pocket. It's not going to happen. Same thing with Julio.
They're going to be talking
for life. It just is what it is with those two.
If Peyton Manning can be released, anybody can get released. If Tom Brady can get released, anybody can get released.
That is true, but it's not going to happen. And Adolphus keeps yelling at you in the comments.
Exactly what Adolphus is saying also. We have a lot of damn money tied into these two players.
Yeah, it's not an option. Like, you don't have that option.
Well, I guess that's what happens when you have one of the better GMs in the NFL. They put you in cap hell.
But we have to two Hall of Famers, not just two bums like.
And like, you have what to show for it at this point right now?
They're doing it. Like, it's a defense. They're Hall of Fame.
The defense went 3 and out 3 straight times at the end of the game. Or did the offense do that?
21 points in 5 minutes to Nick Foles.
Did the defense go 3 and out 3 straight times at the end of the game? Yes or no?
To Nick Foles.
Who went 3 and out 3 straight times?
19 to Nick Foles.
Who went 3 and out 3 straight times to end the game?
What are we doing here?
Where was the defense at when Matt Ryan led y'all's team to 3 straight 3 and outs to end the game? Where was the defense at? On the sideline.
By Nick Foles. That was what they was doing.
No, they were on the sideline watching y'all's offense be out there for 30 seconds and coming right back to the sideline. Just stop blaming the defense. They're tired. Your offense went 3 and out 3 times in a row. The last drive, they threw an interception. You sustained one drive. with your potential Hall of Fame quarterback, y'all win the game. But instead, y'all went again, three and out, three straight times.
Because
your defense was on the sideline. Put some blame on the quarterback.
Run the ball. Why can't we just blame the OC? Run the ball.
Make the throw. Make the throw.
I think that you're not being fair with this argument, but it is what it is.
Who's not being fair?
I think that you're not looking at this from the perspective of like
talking about the defense. Matt Ryan went three and out three times in the game.
Let me ask you this. As it is Matt Ryan's job to keep the offenses going, what is the defense's job?
They did what they were
No. Okay. What's their job?
Their job is to stop them.
Did they stop them?
No. What's the offense? What's the offense's job? So we're just going to ignore the offense going, you guys are
I'm not ignoring them. Three times.
That's incompetence at its finest. That is almost as worse as you can be as an offense. You're not helping. It's a team game. Help your defense. Maybe have a five-play drive. Josh, maybe have a six-play drive. Maybe get a field goal. So, you're going three and outs three straight times on offense, and your main concern is what if the defense
is. I got it. You just made a good point. It is a team game, and you said make a field goal. We had our kicker who took 4 points off our board.
That was at the beginning of the half. I'm talking about the last four drives when the offense had the ball.
Let me ask you this, but that changes how you run the game, whether you're behind or you're ahead. You can't.
What changes?
How you play the game, what the score is. If we
so you got worse points, as an offense.
You did get worse, but you can scheme. You scheme better if you have those 4 points that puts us up. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay.
Your logic is very inconsistent.
I don't know why you're talking about my. How is my logic incomplete if your offense plays competent at any point at the end of the game? The clock keeps running. The Bears don't get an opportunity to get back on the field and beat y'all's defense. The reason why, they made an adjustment by bitching their garbage-ass quarterback. So you guys are playing a quarterback that you guys aren't prepared for. On the other hand, the Falcons' offense was fully prepared for that defense, and they could do nothing against it. You're not putting your defense in a position. You're not helping them out by going three and out three straight times to end the game.
Hey, shout out to Dirk Carter. That's his job.
Okay, because Matt Ryan, because he's missing throws too. Let's blame Dirk Carter for missing throws.
Okay, we'll look at
throwing. We literally addressed overthrowing.
Okay, but look at this.
Blaming the offensive coordinator like he's throwing the ball.
No, but look at this. That's first play, you're talking about this three and outs, right? 6 minutes left in the game. But first play, Todd Gurley run out of the shotgun. Questionable play to call. Second play. Pass infield, the middle of the Calvin Ridley. Pass. The next possession. Execute. First down, incomplete pass. Why are you passing the ball?
Because you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You have an all-pro quarterback. You have a Pro Bowl quarterback. This is a pass. It is not 1998 where you need to run the ball 30 times. Throw the ball.
That's their winning championships. Why not?
Because the Patriots did it. The Patriots did that. The Patriots used short passing. The Patriots used short passing routes to win games. Oh my god, this is frustrating. I'm not even. Why am I getting frustrated? I don't like this team. My team is winning right now. The way y'all are thinking, the way y'all talk about this team is infuriating. I see why y'all hate each other on Twitter.
I don't hate anybody.
Because we're talking about.
I just think that you're not.
Because I'm demanding y'all's Hall of Fame quarterback to make some throws, and here's the thing, y'all are treating Matt Ryan like a game manager. It's like, well, we're up, so we might as well run the ball because we can't trust Matt Ryan to make a decent throw.
That's what game managers do.
That's what quarterbacks who you don't trust do. Just say you don't trust Matt Ryan. Just say you don't trust him. You're paying this guy $20 million to run the ball when you're up 20.
That's the narrative that you're trying to frame. But I mean,
narrative am I framing? Does it three and out three straight times to end the game and then end up with a pick thrown by your quarterback?
But you're saying that because we had Matt Ryan, regardless of logic, let's just keep passing the ball.
What logic are you talking about?
No.
Throwing the ball with a Hall of Fame quarterback isn't illogical.
missing your number one receiver. That's
cool. Calvin Ridley is a first also, round pick. He is good enough to be a number one receiver.
Okay. That's too
easy. Or is he not?
Let me ask you this. You say you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. This is what we do in the NFL. Then what about the decision with the Seahawks in the Super Bowl deciding to throw the ball on the goal line?
Because the Patriots have one of the best running defenses in the NFL. That's why they threw it. And it was pass interference.
Okay, but.
So that's why they didn't run the ball. It makes sense.
So in execution-wise, you're saying that Super Bowl team can't run the ball three times in the end zone?
They were trying to throw, if you're the defense, let me explain. If you're the defense and you're in that position, everybody's saying, hey, guys, they're going to run the ball. So why not try to do something different to catch them off guard when they are clearly one of the best run defenses in the NFL? It does make sense to throw the ball in that situation when you think about it that way.
You have to worry about
But doesn't that require you to have a competent offensive coordinator to make those decisions, correct?
To make what decision? To throw or run?
No, you said that, hey, if they're going to do this, we're going to zig while they zag.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, which funnels down to quarterback, which funnels down to production on the field, which is what we're trying to say.
What I am saying. The players on the field are not executing. That is my entire point.
But you keep talking about one player.
Yeah, that's
one. Yeah.
You're not talking about all. You keep talking about one.
He didn't break it. He's going to ignore that Kuhl literally left 4 points on the field and that we could have went into overtime or, heck, we could have driven down for the game-winning field goal. But because the offense went three and out for three consecutive drives, it's all on Matt.
And we're going to act like people refuse to block Khalil Mack or block anybody on third down. We're going to pretend that didn't happen either.
I've been consistent. If the offense plays average at the end of the game is when Nick Foles started cooking, right? At the end of the game, he was rolling. That offense was rolling. All the Falcons have to do is be a competent offense. And instead of being a competent offense, they went three and out.
We can't have a competent defense for a change?
It's hard to be a competent defense when you only get a minute to rest. You get a minute on the sideline and your offense is putting you right back out there.
I'm not playing that right here.
All right, this is a good point. Let's move on from this because this is clearly
that's a good point, Ant 2026.
Yeah, Ant. I haven't seen you on my timeline lately. I need to find you again. With this guy, Fowler says some shit, according to Jason Butt. He says it's not time to panic. When is the time to panic? We've blown two games in a row. When are we supposed to panic? Y'all don't fucking look like y'all are panicking. I want my fucking money back for my jerseys. Like, I don't even know why I bought jerseys this year.
Like, it's gotten so bad to the point where Aaron Freeman, who's the most even kill.
Do you like playing fantasy sports? If so, Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. If you're playing with NFL, of course, because this is an NFL podcast, you choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. You can also do other sports, of course. They have NBA, MLB, PGA, and even esports. How that works will be in the description box below. Use our promo code DBNReport, the name of this podcast. We'll put it in the description box below. When you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Again, that's www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today.
Falcons fan, but analysis, is he's even at a loss for words. He tweeted out, I'm speechless, I'm going to need a minute. And he completely takes emotion out of all of his analysis, and he's even like, Jesus, like this is absurd. Like, like I said, I'm wearing this Lakers shirt for a reason. I'm not representing a team that embarrasses me week in and week out. Like, that's not happening. It's not happening. But like I said, I don't expect it to get any better, to be honest. We got Green Bay, then we got Carolina. So
Ant 26 is saying that the defense is giving up 36 points per game. It would be a lot harder for them to give up all those points if the offense could stay on the field.
And that would be great if we had an offense coordinator to scheme better plays.
And playmakers that can make plays on the field. And receivers that can catch and quarterbacks that can throw.
Now you want to add more than one player to your rant.
I said the players.
I mean, it goes hand in hand.
Okay, guys. When we're talking about the NFL, who gets the credit when you win? The quarterback. Who gets the blame when you lose? The quarterback. Like, let's be real, guys. Like, I'm going to name off the quarterback. Sorry for talking about your precious Matt Ryan.
It's not even that, but I mean, if you look at a team like, for example, if you have a good system, I hate to do this, but the 49ers, they're down without the starting quarterback, multiple starters on offense and defense, and they still somehow, because of that system and that play calling, can produce. You can't ignore the fact that
That falls on Arthur Blank for keeping a coach that hasn't done a good job when Falcons history just walk out the door.
Yeah, nobody will.
You let the greatest Falcons coach.
Okay, well, hold on. Well, again, that's a different situation. But I do agree with what you're saying. That does fall off the blame. But there's no organization that, when their coach in the second season gets them to the Super Bowl, when the OC is already committed to being a head coach somewhere else, they're not going to be like, oh, well, wait a second, we're going to fire him and hire him. That's
when did he commit to the 49ers job?
Before the Super Bowl.
The week before.
Like.
Yeah. So you're not even to give your head coach that got your team to the Super Bowl in the second season a chance to see what he does. Like, that's
because you can look at that team and tell that it wasn't him. Like, you could look at that. We can go back and look at that team.
Hindsight is 2020.
At that time, why was the Falcons team so good? Was it the defense or because of the offense?
Both.
Because their offense was historically great, top 10 historically.
Yeah, but
how good was their defense?
The defense started picking up after like week 10.
I'm asking a question. How good was their defense? Were they historically great like their offense, or were they just good for that year?
Again.
So if that's the case, if I'm Arthur Blank and I actually pay attention to my team, I'm not letting the person that is responsible for my team's success, for my team accomplishing history, I'm not letting that person leave the building.
But that's
I'm
still,
not.
That's a jaded view, though, because the year before we started at 5-0.
Exactly. Did you not? Year before Matt Ryan looked like trash the year before Shanahan.
I hated Matt Ryan Day same year as you. So your viewpoint is kind of jaded because you have an 8-8 year with Shanahan, and then you have an 11-5 Super Bowl year with Shanahan. Which one is it? Is the true Shanahan?
I'm talking about. I'd probably lean towards the one that was historically great.
We dropped 7 games in a row with Shanahan the year before. In a row with the same guy.
I would trust the guy that was historically great.
But not the guy who literally led to a 7-game losing streak. That's the same guy.
Was he the head coach?
But now, see, you're switching your argument because you're saying like,
we
hey,
all know
give,
that
give
the head coach
credit,
needs to go.
Hey, give credit to Shanahan
when
they're winning.
How was
the offense? Wasn't good because we lost seven games.
So when the offense was historically great, why do you let that coach go?
Because this game is made of offense, defense, and special teams, which is managed
by the
head coach.
Why not keep the guy that made your offense historically great? Why not keep that guy?
Because he took us to
8-8
years before. Was the offense historically great?
So what are we going to do next week? Are we going to win or lose, guys? We're going back.
Aaron Rodgers will not play the fourth quarter next week.
Jesus Christ. Better question. Will Dan Quinn be there to see it? That's the biggest question.
Dan Quinn is not going nowhere for the rest of the year.
Probably. I mean, look, all these players are riding for him, talking about they lost. They tried playing for him. Clearly, you didn't try your best. But if you did, you would, I don't know, wrap up tackles. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's probably going to be another blowout. They're probably going to win on one of Rodgers' famous Hail Mary plays. And Oliver is going to fuck up trying to get an interception instead of making a tackle again. That's what I see happening.
What's Dan Quinn's contract? Like, how many years does he have left on his contract?
No, this is his do or die year.
This is it. Oh, they're both in their last year to curve?
Yeah.
Last year of their contracts?
Yeah.
We wanted them fired last year, and then Arthur Blank decided to make a 20-minute video explaining why he's keeping the both of them instead of firing them. Their last year. So
at this point, it looks like they'll both be fired at the end of the season, but you guys are going to have to ride out with both of them for the rest of the year.
Unfortunately.
I mean, there's nothing, doesn't really matter either way. I mean, this will be sure the same doesn't. Outcome.
We're just going to ride this train down.
As soon as that season ends, you need to get them two out of there. You need to find you a competent GM for a team that drafts well. I would honestly look at the Colts, and I hate to say this, but the Colts assistant GM is really good at his job. I would try to get him, and I am throwing the bag at the Chiefs offensive coordinator. I don't care what he's asking for. Give it to him.
Do I really want the Colts GM? Because y'all kind of broke that one quarterback.
Look at his draft record. That's all I'm going to say. Look at the draft record.
Y'all kind of broke
that. Oh, my God.
Look at the draft record.
Okay, anyways, I got it. Whatever. So with the whole Bieniemy thing, just to wrap up the future Falcons head coach, and I said this last year when I thought they were all going to get fired, I don't care who it is. I just want somebody that's competent. Somebody that can manage the clock, somebody that can hire well, somebody can draft well, somebody can evaluate well, somebody that can get their players to play at an NFL level of competency. That's all I want. I don't care if it's fucking Joe Blow down the street. Can he run an NFL team competently and get the most out of his players? I don't care if he's a big name, small name. Just give us competency. But that's all I got. Jeff, Josh, Marcus, which I got to wrap it up.
I just want someone that's going to give me a ring. I just want one ring before leaving this earth. So whatever personnel players we need to do that, we need to get it done. Subscribe to this channel on YouTube. We're also on Periscope. So I'm not going on Facebook yet because I got too many relatives on Facebook.
And delete them.
For all that, you know.
Make a separate family page and then delete them and then add all the savages.
I'm angelic as far as my family's concerned. You know what I'm saying?
So make a separate page and then just invite all the savages from Twitter to your Facebook. That's the best solution, man.
I'll attempt to do that, but I don't think I want them on my Facebook. Anyway, subscribe to this channel. When we get to 100 people, I think we're at 67 now, but when we get to 100 people on YouTube, subscribe. The YouTube subscribers, one of y'all will get a Falcons jersey. Hell, it might be one of mine because I'm so bad. Like, we're all different sizes. But yeah, so make sure y'all subscribe and tune in next week.
Josh.
Thank God for the Georgia Bulldogs because I would literally
You're playing danger, boy.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. My God. Like, go dogs. That's all I got. Go dogs.
Nah, y'all got lucky last night.
Ain't no lucky. We made adjustments, like another coach's staff, and the defense played like what defense does. They stopped somebody. They made turnovers. They didn't allow a backup quarterback to come in and throw three touchdowns. They didn't do that.
You made a few points.
All right, facts. All right, well, that's all. Yeah, I just ate these chicken wings. So, yep, this is Durbin Nation Report, an official podcast of Falcons, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere. Subscribe. And we're out. Like Jeff said, we'll hang out after the broadcast and see what she's talking about. Peace.
Yes. Bye.